Brethren, it is always good for us to be in the house of God. He has been wonderful to us. You know, we are not deserving of all his blessings, but yet he has showered it on us. If we have been reflecting on the songs, as we should, then we would have recognized that we have been focusing on Jesus Christ. And we are so happy that we can be here. And as we study from God's word this morning, we pray that the message will be of such that you'll be encouraged towards service to the Almighty God. You know, we thank the brothers and who continue to pray for us. It is a source of encouragement. We recognize too that away from here, that many continue to pray for us. And we just want to say publicly that we are encouraged by your encouragement, and we work together for the cause of Christ. You know, I was reflecting just now that it's about this time last year that we started to get a sense of the coronavirus in the island. You know, 1 year has gone by quickly, and we are just happy that, you know, there's at least hope on the horizon. You know, we look forward to a vaccine. We heard just last week, this week ending, just past, you know, about plans in respect to the coverage. And in all of this, we just want to express thanks to God for his great provisions. And in everything, we want him to be in the middle of it, because man will go thus far, but we need the presence of God in everything. This morning, we want to direct our attention to a topic, Christ demonstrated power over. Christ demonstrated power over. You know, I sort of thought about how this would sound. You know, because, you know, depending on how you pause and where you put the emphasis on a particular word, then a statement can convey different messages. You know, so, you know, we could have, you know, relinquished the word demonstrated and just said Christ's power over. And then even so, we could run into a little problem, because we are not saying that Christ's power is over. All right? In fact, we will be saying the very opposite. All right? So Christ has demonstrated power over many things. And we sang earlier, I want Jesus to walk with me. You know, we spoke of the fact that Jesus cares. And that's not a misguided thought, because Jesus Christ indeed cares for us. We'll be resting our study primarily in the book of Mark chapter 4, from verse 35, through to chapter 5, down to 43, many verses. And we won't be able to cover all the thoughts in this sitting. But what we want to recognize as we engage our minds in the study of God's word is that Jesus Christ has over and over again demonstrated his power. Jesus Christ has not left us wondering if he has power. He has power and he has demonstrated that power. But to what end? And that is what we want to explore over the next few weeks, God's willing. That Jesus Christ, having demonstrated his power, to what end? And we will be examining some of his demonstrated power as recorded in the book of Mark. And we are going to be seeing his demonstrated power over external events such as a storm. We are going to see his demonstrated power over evil, over demons, the unclean spirit. But to what end has he done such a demonstration of his power? We'll explore his demonstrated power over what seems to be the impossible, the very death of someone. And we will examine as well his demonstrated power over sickness. So Jesus Christ has demonstrated power for a central purpose. And we put to you as we begin that he has sought to build faith. He has sought to confirm his holy word. And for that reason, he has demonstrated his power. And so if we pick up at Mark chapter 4 and verse 35, then we will see Jesus Christ in his prerogative, in his demonstrated power, and see that even in external situations, that Jesus Christ has power. Because we all have storms in our lives. Things are not always smooth. And so our health may be our storm. Death may be in our presence. And we never get used to death. And even in our prayer this morning, we spoke about and solicited a prayer of comfort to those who are grieving. So death comes at us. Sometimes our social existence is like a storm. And indeed, over the last year, we can truly say that in a sense, we are all in the storm of the coronavirus. Because we had little to do with why this has come upon us here in this location. Why this has come upon us as an epidemic affecting the entire country. Has come upon the world, this pandemic. And so there are external factors that hit at us. Our storm might be issues that we deal with in the family. Our storm may surround employment, unemployment, as we contemplate and plan for retirement. Or we are in retirement and we wonder for the next 20 years, how will I survive this storm of not having employable income, not having a salary? And so there are many storms that may impact us. We may have disappointment with where we are educationally. We may be doing exams and we weren't as successful as we wanted to be. And so that becomes a storm in our life. And here we have in Mark that Jesus Christ were among persons who encountered a storm. Can we pick up at verse 35?
And the same day. When the evening was come.
Yes.
He said unto them, let us pass over unto the other side.
Okay, so they wanted to move from one side to the other, and they took a boat, a ship. Read.
And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him, even as he was in the ship, and there were also with him other little ships.
Read.
And there arose a great storm of wind.
And there arose
a great storm.
A great storm
of wind.
And I want you to realize, you know, that sometimes as we sojourn life, as we go about our business, that we are contemplating the normal things to be happening. You know, we get up, we go to work, we interact with our family. And then a storm comes. In a sense, it's not even that we cause this upon ourselves. And let me quickly say that sometimes the storms that hit us, we cause it. Yeah, sometimes we cause it by our actions. But there are times when the storm has nothing to do with our doing. You know, even again in terms of this COVID-19, there are many who are now jobless. Why? Because of restricted movements. Because of less tourist arrivals. Holiday Inn, was that what made the news? You know, they are closing down their operation for the next 4 months. There are many small businesses who have now closed their doors. And so sometimes storms will come at us, and they are not just little storms. But like Jesus Christ, we are seeing here in verse 37, and there arose a storm, but not just a storm, a great storm of wind. Read.
And the waves beat. Into the ship. So that it was now full.
And so sometimes when the storm hits us, that great storm hits us and the waves beat at us. And we will try to empty the water. We get busy trying to deal with it, but it overwhelms us. Because the passage goes on to say, not only was the storm great, not only is it that the waves were beating into the ship, but it got to the point when the ship was full. And so sometimes the struggle that we encounter, if it was just a great storm that lasted for a little while and just beat a little, then we'll be able to handle it. But sometimes it overwhelms us. We can't do anything to pull ourselves from it. And so our cup is full. And so it is that in this storm, that as the waves beat, that the ship became full of water. And then it is at this hour that the persons in the ship, they went to Jesus Christ. And that's always a good thing to do. To look to Jesus. Read verse 38.
And he was in the hinder part of the ship.
So he was at the back end of the ship.
Asleep on a pillow.
Asleep in the middle of the storm. And so that's how it sometimes feels to us. That when we are going through our storm, you know, we wonder, where is Jesus? We want Jesus to be up front. But he seemed to be at the back and he seemed to be sleeping. And deep sleep, because a comfortable sleep, because many of us don't even sleep on pillow. But here's Jesus deeply sleeping. And then they ask of him a question.
And they awake him. And
so before them ask him a question, they wake him up. And so sometimes we need to solicit Jesus Christ. Sometimes, you know, there's a song that says, "Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear, all because we do not carry everything to God in prayer." And so sometimes we think we are all sufficient. But when trials come, let us never think that we can just handle it by ourselves. Let us always engage Jesus Christ. And so they awoke him. And then after they awoke him, what happened, Bradley? And they said unto him,
"Master."
Master. So they recognize him as Master.
"Carest thou not that we perish?"
Carest thou not? And so sometimes that's what boggles our minds. Does Jesus care? And so they ask him the question straight up. "Carest thou not that we perish?" And so sometimes we, as we struggle with our storms, we wonder, does Jesus care? Did we sing something about that? And the question comes, yes, he cares. I know he cares. And so we recognize that we have a Savior who cares. But what we are going to see demonstrated is that it is not only that Jesus cares, but that Jesus is able. We have a God able. Read on.
"And he arose."
So, "Master, carest thou that we perish?" And then he says, and then it goes on to say, "And he arose." You know, I like this term. Jesus Christ arose. So sometimes when we think Jesus is not there for us, we just need to petition him and he'll be there for us. You know, there's a lot of meat in this statement. Christ arose. It's almost like this would be depicting the essence of Jesus. Because though here he was arising from sleep, the message that Christ arose is a rich lesson. Jesus Christ arose is the central point of Christianity. You know, in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 3 and 4, you know, we are told about the essence of Christ. The essence of Christianity. The base on which Christianity rests. And it says in verse 3 and 4 of 1 Corinthians 15 that,
"For I delivered unto you, first of all."
So Paul said, "I'm delivering to you, first of all,
that which I also received."
So what I receive, I am delivering to you.
"How that Christ died for our sins."
So just in case we don't get to it at the end, I want to say to us that what everyone has to receive and what each of us as Christian is to deliver to others is a truth concerning Jesus Christ. That what?
How that Christ died. For our sins.
Christ died for our sins.
According to the scriptures. And that he was buried.
And that Jesus Christ was buried.
And that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures.
So Jesus Christ died according to the scriptures. Jesus Christ was buried according to the scriptures. And he arose. So Jesus Christ staying dead, staying buried, is not a wonderful news. It is always in our interest to get to the point of recognition that Christ arose. And that's why a day like this is so special. A day like this, yes. The first day of the week. You know, last week Wednesday was what they call it, Ash Wednesday. And then they'll count 40 days from Ash Wednesday. And then that will become Easter time. Yeah, that's what they tell us in the religious world. And they make a big ado about a day they call Good Friday. Because Christ died on a Friday. As important as Christ's death is, as significant as the fact that he was buried, placed in a tomb, you know what is very significant? That he arose. That he arose a victor from the dark domain. The storm in our lives are sometimes dark. But when we solicit the help of Jesus Christ, brightness can emerge. Because Jesus Christ knows and understands the significance of arising. And so Jesus Christ is happy to rise on our behalf. And so I want to encourage us, when our storms of life hit us, that we call upon Jesus Christ. He's willing, because he cares. He will arise. But not only is it that he woke up, but he rebuked the wind. That's what it says. And he arose, verse 39.
And rebuked the wind.
And rebuked the wind.
And said unto the sea.
And said unto the sea.
Peace.
Peace.
Be still.
Be still. That's the power of Jesus Christ. That even the winds and the sea will obey his command. That's the power of Jesus Christ. The wind. Peace be still. And what did the wind do?
And the wind ceased.
And the wind ceased.
And
it stopped. And there
was a great calm.
And there was calm. There was a great calm. You see? There was a great storm. And at the command of Jesus Christ, we have a great calm. That's the power of Jesus Christ. Verse 41. And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, what manner of man is this? Even the wind and the sea obey him. That is the power of Jesus Christ. No matter what your storm is, Jesus Christ can intervene. The wind and the sea, they obeyed him. So Jesus Christ is powerful to help us through whatever the storm. But this situation is probably not new to us. What I want us to recognize in this sojourn, in this study, in this engagement of your minds, is that as Jesus Christ demonstrated this power to save, to calm the sea, to stop the winds, that he had a purpose. He had a purpose in this. Read for me verse 40. We had skipped verse 40. Let's read verse 40.
And
he said unto them,
why are ye so fearful?
Why are you so fearful?
How is it that ye have no
faith? How is it
that ye have no faith?
That ye have no faith. And so what we're seeing even in this situation is that this is an issue of faith. And so Christ's demonstration of power over the storm is an issue of faith. Because in this situation, in this storm, and what they would have observed about Jesus Christ, they would have now developed a faith. And years, decades, centuries, millenniums later, we can be here resting in this truth. We can be developing faith in Jesus Christ because of this demonstrated power. And that's no surprise, because scripture tells us that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. This is no mistake. It is no accident that this has been recorded, and that it serves the purpose of building our own faith. Because storms will come in our lives, and it is important for us to know that we can lean on God to help us in our storms. Yeah, let me say here that sometimes storms will come, and in God's wisdom, he may allow the storm to take its course. We are but to trust always in the Almighty God. You know, there's something that we may have missed in verse 36. Don't want to spend too much time on it. But it says, and when they had sent away the multitude and took him even as he was in the ship, and there were also with him other little ships. And so the ship that got beat, the ship that became full of water, was the ship in which Jesus Christ was in. And from all indication, that was a bigger ship. So that great storm, I am not sure what happened to those little ships. Were they full fast? Did they sink? I don't know. But storms will come, and it can be devastating. But we need to but trust in Jesus Christ. Look to him, and he can intervene in accordance with his will. But what we are highlighting, brethren, is that Christ has demonstrated power. For what purpose? Let's not miss the purpose. It was a faith-building purpose. A faith-building purpose. But you see, there are times when we meet challenges, and it's not so external. You know, there are times when we have, in a sense, demons within us. There's evil hitting and knocking at us from within. And so it is that as Jesus sojourned, that we came and we come to another situation in which Jesus Christ demonstrated power. And he demonstrated power over evil. He demonstrated power over demons. He demonstrated power over unclean spirits. And so if we pick up in chapter 5, still dealing with coming over, and they came over, read, unto the other side of the sea.
Into the country of the Gadarenes.
Read.
And when he was come out of the ship.
And when he was come out of the ship.
Immediately.
Immediately.
There met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit.
Is that cemetery? I don't even know why the cemetery is so near to the coast. But here it is. That as he landed, so to speak. Here comes a man with unclean spirit. And some of us have unclean spirits. We do not have dwelling in us the Holy Spirit. We do not have gushing out of us the fruits of the Spirit. But this man, he had an unclean spirit. He had demons in him. Read on. Verse 3.
Who had his dwelling among the tombs.
They lived in the cemetery.
And no man could bind him.
No man could bind him. No.
Not with chains. Because
we're not talking about trying to tie him up with some rope, you know. Not even with chains could they restrain this man. Because?
That he had been often bound.
So he had been often bound.
With fetters and chains.
Even with chains.
And the chains have been plucked asunder by him.
And I don't know if it's just the King James. I didn't really do a whole lot of research into it. But all the wording of the King James put it is almost like, even though them chain him up. And I'm picturing some big chains. And they said, you know, when they're chaining him, just pluck it. It's almost like him just, you know, it was that strong. But here it is that sometimes evil, sometimes sin, and the impact of the devil has us all chained up. And so it is with this man that Jesus Christ encountered. Neither could any man tame him. So we are seeing here a man of unclean spirit dwelling in the cemetery. He was untamed. Read on.
Asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces. Neither could any man tame him.
So nobody could tame him. Read on.
And always. Night and day.
Night and day.
He was in the mountains.
He was up in the mountains.
And in the tombs.
And in the cemetery.
Crying. And cutting himself. With stones.
Sometimes we find ourselves in situations where the demons in our lives, the situations that we are confronted with, cause us to be at a place where we do not want to be. The demon of drugs, the demon of abuse that sometimes get our minds all messed up. These affect us from inside out. That no matter how many counselors we go to, it's almost like they can't make a breakthrough. Why? Because of abuse that we have encountered. Because of how sin has affected us. You know, when you look at certain statistics and they tell you of how persons have been abused, how women have been abused from young. When it tells you about how many women have been battered by men. These things mess up the minds of many. And when it impacts children, the counselors and the psychologists will tell you that these impact the persons negatively. Messes up their life. And so there are many demons. You know, many young people get into this thing of cutting themselves. There are all kinds of psychological things that are impacting us in this life. Great things and inventions and technology are there that can help us. But if left unchecked, they can mess us up. And so our young people can get into social media easily. As wonderful as it is to help us in education, to help us in research, here it is that whether it is Instagram, Facebook, whatever the social interaction, you know, we start meeting persons in this space. And we are encouraged to establish a type of profile to say, this is me. And it's all warped because the person you are interacting with is just themselves trying to fit in into this social place. And so there is no substance to the type of values that are established. And worse yet, sometimes who you are interacting with is not who you think. History and the reality of our times will tell us of young persons who have been lured into areas and you'd never see them again. Because yes, this 12-year-old believes that they are meeting up with another 12-year-old. But this might be a 44-year-old. And so this whole social thing can mess us up. And if we're not careful, even that which is good can become evil. I dropped that by. Because there are many demons and many evils in this world. But let's go back to text. Which verse were you? Day and night. You're at verse 5. They're crying and cutting themselves with stones.
But when he saw Jesus.
But when he saw Jesus.
Afar off.
You know, encountering Jesus is a wonderful thing. And if you have not yet met Jesus Christ, I want to encourage you to know him. We already told you that he died for you. We already told you that he was buried and he arose. That's the Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who loves you. And it's for that reason that he died, was buried, now resurrected, now ascended. Yes, that's the Jesus I want to introduce you to. But when they saw Jesus afar off, when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran
and worshipped him.
You know, even the devils recognize goodness. But you know, I want you to recognize that it's not enough just to know Jesus. It's not enough just to know Christ. It's not enough just to believe that Christ is the Son of God. It's important, but it is not enough. I want you to notice that this man possessed, that he ran and he worshipped Jesus. And he cried with a loud voice and said, "What have I to do with thee, Jesus? Thou Son of the Most High God, I adjure thee by God, that thou torment me not." This man was having a conversation with Jesus. He was engaging Jesus Christ intelligently. This man that we're saying possessed. And what's the point I'm making? That even the devils, even demons, believe in Christ. So when somebody on the radio, when somebody on television will tell you, touch the saint, pray the sinner's prayer, and in that sinner's prayer, I believe, and then the person says, you are now saved. That's not enough, my friends. It's not enough to just say that you believe in Jesus. The devils believe and tremble. James chapter 2 and verse 19 tells us that. But we see right here that here it is that the demon-possessed man, that he interacted with Jesus, and then he says, torment me not. Do not torment me. And then here is the beautiful thing. That no matter what our evil is, no matter what our demons are, Jesus Christ can deal with it. But just before we get there, I want us to notice something. Verse 8. And he said unto him, Come out of the man,
thou unclean spirit.
And he asked him, read.
What is thy name?
What is thy name?
And he answered, saying.
And he said, my name
is Legion.
For my name is Legion. Why Legion? For we are many. Oh boy. For we are many. You know, in this corona thing again, you know, there are some new vocabulary that we have sort of developed, you know. I don't know if a year ago, if you use the word on me, comorbidity, that I would have a clue what you're talking about. Yeah. Now I understand quite clearly that there is a difference between quarantine and isolation. Those are synonymous terms. Yeah. Yeah, and I knew about quarantine because I deal with IT and virus, so I know that when a virus is found, then you put it in quarantine. But you know, so now we understand that when you are suspect, then you're in quarantine. But when you are positive, then you go in isolation. So our vocabulary has increased, you know. But this comorbidity, you know that the devil works wicked, because he's not getting us with one demon, with one evil spirit, with one type of evil. No. We have comorbidities of demons. You know, there are many. You know, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 9, such were some of you. Such were some of you. And to our friends, we recognize and we are happy to have you in our midst. But to the extent that you have not met Jesus and have not allowed him to work in your lives, then there is comorbidity in your existence. You know, can we run to that so that we can understand what I'm saying? 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 9.
Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit
the kingdom
of God. Be not deceived.
Be not deceived.
Neither fornicators.
Neither fornicators. And it goes on to talk about idolaters and drunkards and homosexuals and extortioners. And he lists a lot of things. These are the comorbidities. These are evil in our lives. When we allow these to be a part of us, then we are possessed by the devil. We have the devil as our father. We are little devils. And he gets us in different ways. So you might find that for some of us, we embrace many of these things: drunkenness, thieves, abusers. But the Bible goes on to say, and such were some of you. And for some of us, we can say, and such are some of us. But read on. You can't just jump down to verse 11 for time's sake.
But ye are washed.
But, it says, but
ye
you are washed. So until we are washed by the blood of Jesus Christ, until we get in unison with Jesus Christ, until we get to a stage where we can relate to his death, his burial, and his resurrection, then such we still are. We are still having comorbidities of demons, devils in our lives. We are not holding the fruits of the Spirit, but we are engaging in fleshly things. But such were some of you. But what? But you were washed. But you were sanctified. You were justified. Read on.
In the name of the Lord Jesus.
So we recognize that until we come in contact with Jesus, then that is our state. Until we have interaction with the Holy Spirit, then that is our reality. And so for the Christians, we can say, such were some of you. But those who have not yet embraced Christianity, such are some of you. But let me hasten down, because we won't get to another case this morning. But there's much learning yet with this interaction with this demon-possessed man, because Christ demonstrated power over him. You know, in verse 8, let's go back to that. For he said unto him,
Come out of the man,
thou unclean spirit. And so we are saying Christ has the power to deal with our demons. Christ has the power to move us from a state of living in the cemetery, traversing the mountains. Christ has the power to stop us from bursting chains. Christ has the power to stop us from hurting ourselves in sin. Christ has the power to bring us to a point where we are rational again. Because in a sense, when we are possessed by demons, we have lost our minds. Moving about, but we have really lost our way. You know, when Jesus finished interacting with the demon, he was a changed man. He was a changed man. You know, no longer running up and down, bursting chains and cutting up himself, but he was sitting, a calm man. He was clothed. That's transformation. He was in his right mind. So even when he was engaging with Jesus Christ, he wasn't in his right mind until the demons left him. Thanks to the power of Jesus Christ. You know, let's jump down to verse 19 for time's sake. And it says in verse 19, trying to wrap up. Verse 19. Howbeit, Mark chapter 5, verse 19. Howbeit Jesus
suffered him not.
Suffered him not.
But saith unto him.
Let's back up. Jump up to verse 18.
And when he was coming to the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil.
So he that was possessed.
With the devil.
With the devil.
Prayed him that he might be with him.
So, you know, he's now in a different place and he wanted to be with Jesus. And he asked.
Howbeit.
He asked Jesus, can I travel with you? And Jesus said, well, Jesus suffered him not. That means he did not allow him. But he said to him,
Go home to thy friends. And tell them how great things
the Lord hath done for thee.
And hath had compassion on thee.
You know, so Jesus Christ says, go. You know, and that reminds me of Jesus Christ's instruction to his disciples. He says, go into all the world. You know, teaching, evangelizing. And so what we see here, brethren, is that in a sense, all of us as Christians have been rid of our demons. Yes, our interaction and our obedience to Jesus Christ, us having been washed and sanctified, we got rid of the comorbidities of the devil. But it is not sufficient, brethren, to feel comfortable that the demons are gone. Here it is that Jesus Christ is saying to the converted one. Are you converted? He's saying to him, go. Go home. Go tell your family members what has been done. Go. Go tell your friends what have been done. Go. Go tell the persons you interact with who knew what you were and help them to come to me. This is a call for evangelism. I dare say personal evangelism. What I'm doing here is evangelistic in nature. But God has an expectation that in my circle, that I will go and tell persons who know me, my family, my friends, my co-workers, my schoolmates, that we have a responsibility to go and tell them how God has been compassionate to you. I was interacting just last week, well, Friday or Saturday, with someone. And they were telling me that, Fabian, I want you to follow up with this associate of mine. Because I was talking to them because they experienced death. Somebody close to them has passed. And in the dialogue, the person introduced them to Jesus Christ. That's how it works. Personal evangelism. And was made the link that, boy, this thing about death brings the reality that we too will die. And we need to take it from just being believe to being obedient. And even though you know it, you know, I paused in the conversation and I said to myself, wow, that's how it is to work. As we interact, we seek avenues to introduce Jesus Christ. So sometimes it is not setting out initially a formal Bible study. But just as you interact with persons and life happens, we can introduce Jesus Christ into the picture. And they might not get the understanding at the outset that they need to be a part of the church that Jesus Christ built. But they would have recognized that they need Jesus Christ. And then you can guide them further into the details. But such is it, that having had Jesus Christ showing him compassion, having Jesus Christ demonstrate his power over evil, that this man could now go home. This man could go tell his friends what has been done to him. So go, tell. This is a call, brethren, to evangelism. It is. I want to leave the lesson here. Yes, have to leave the lesson here. And we just want to encourage us to recognize that all men, all the persons who saw this, marveled. Let's read the last verse, verse 20. And he departed
and began to publish.
And to, began to publish in
Decapolis.
All right, I left you on to that title stuff. How great things Jesus Christ had done for him. Then listen to this now.
And all men
did marvel. You know what happened here? By Christ's demonstration of his power over evil, it caused men to marvel. So the purpose of the demonstration of his power, Christ demonstrated power over evil, caused men to come to an understanding, a realization of faith and belief in him. Will you come? Will you come to Jesus Christ? Will you come to the one who has power over all things external, whatever that storm is, that he is able and has power over it? Will you come to the one who can deal with those things internal, those things in us, those devils in us, that able Jesus Christ? Will you come today? You can come hearing, because you have heard. Come believing, but it's not enough to believe. The devils believe, they tremble. That's not enough. You must come repenting, making a change. Come confessing that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Come baptizing so that you can get in touch with the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Come today. What's the song of invitation? What's the song? 554. Five, five,